From First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, here's Dr. Michael Milton.
We just don't have the religious concept of an angry God who must be appeased. When we read about the wrath of God, we're reading about the wrath of God against sin. But this is a God who loves sinners and who sent his only begotten Son to bring peace. It's available to you. It's yours to have. It's part of the bounty. God invites you to receive this peace, this enduring peace, this lasting peace in your life. And if you will only pray, God will give you that peace. He'll give you that peace in the middle of the storm you're going through. It's a peace that comes from relationship. It's a peace that comes from love.
The Bible declares faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. Welcome to Faith for Living with Dr. Michael Milton, the radio outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, a ministry with one great passion and belief, that faith comes from proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in God's Word, and that faith in Jesus Christ is faith for living. This week, Dr. Milton brings to us the first part of a message entitled, Reconciled and Rejoicing, the Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart, as we continue our series, A Word from Another World, Messages from Romans. Perhaps you've seen the movie The Straight Story. It's about an older man who drives a lawnmower hundreds of miles in order to make peace with his estranged brother. He went to great lengths to pursue reconciliation, and yet Jesus Christ has gone to much greater lengths to reconcile you to God. Do you know the joy of being reconciled to your Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ? The Bible text for today's broadcast is from Romans 5, verses 1 through 11. Here again is Dr. Mike Milton with today's message entitled, Reconciled and Rejoicing, the Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart, Part 1.
Let's turn to Romans chapter 5. Chapters 1 through 4, as you know, have been a time of showing the need of Jesus Christ. Basically, if you can get it done through your religion yourself, then you don't need a Savior. But Paul showed that both Gentile and Jew were without excuse before God. And so in chapter 5, we come to that first word, therefore. You will also see therefore in verse 12, and you will see therefore in verse 18. When you see therefore, you should always ask, what is it therefore? That's the old saying in Bible study. And indeed you should. And it marks a turn in Paul's thinking. If there was a sense in which Paul was a prosecutor before, in chapters 1 through 4, in chapter 5, Paul turns to a music director because there's hope and there's joy. But I would say that if this morning you have a guilty conscience, this is a sermon for you. I would say this morning, if you are tired of playing church in your life, and you want more of God, then chapter 5, verses 1 through 11 is a passage for you. If you are suffering and wondering why or asking what to do in the midst of your suffering, this is a passage for you. If you are joyless or hopeless, but if that's sort of a living metaphor for other more important things in your life, then this passage is for you. If you're saying, I'm fine, I've got it all together, then this is definitely for you. Therefore, let us hear the word of the Lord. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. One will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we now have received reconciliation. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Will you pray with me this morning? Lord, let me preach as if never to preach again, as a dying man to dying men. In Jesus' name, amen. Her name was Karen. It's not her real name, but I'll call her that this morning. She was a young woman in a former congregation where I pastored, who was convinced of her need of God, convinced of her sin, that is. But she had no hope, and she seemed to have no joy. As I talked to her about the condition of her soul, I asked some questions. And one of the questions I asked was, do you understand justification? She says, I don't even know what the word means. I run away in my Bible from words like justification. As I talked to her more, I began to see that she lacked an understanding in her mind about what God had done for her. And as a result, she lacked hope. She lacked joy. In Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, hope and rejoicing are interwoven in the passage. Because as the Apostle Paul makes his turn, as he's prosecuted the case, he just doesn't leave you there. He just doesn't leave you there with saying that you're a sinner. He moves on to what justification, that is, being declared righteous and holy because of Jesus Christ, entering into a right relationship with God based on what Christ has done, that's justified. Paul doesn't leave you in your sin. He didn't leave the Roman church just to say, you're sinners, you're without excuse. He now says, justification happens through faith in Jesus Christ, therefore. And the therefore for the Apostle Paul leads to something that Karen needed. It leads to something that I need and you need. Because as we live life, the ups and downs of life, Sometimes we walk a couple of steps forward and three or four or five or ten backwards. And sometimes we may get to thinking that God only loves us and there's only hope and there's only joy in the first two steps forward. In other words, when we're good boys and good girls. But the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ is that God's love for you is also in the backward steps. This is life-changing. If you were someone like me who felt that God's blessing was only on you when you were walking the right way, then this is going to be good news for you. During Queen Anne's reign, she had a special treasury, and it was for the poor preachers of the realm. And it was called Queen Anne's Bounty. And out of that bounty, she would give money to struggling clerics in the Church of England and other churches. Well, what I want to show you this morning in Romans 5, verses 1 through 11, is King Jesus' bounty. Because this turn is a wonderful turn in the passage, in the epistle, which shows King Jesus' bounty of blessings in the life of the believer. And first thing I want to do is look at the contents of this bounty. I want to go into the treasury and see what is there with you as we turn to God's Word. And the first thing that we see popping right out in verse 1 is that justification, which Paul's been talking about in chapters 1 through 4, the need for it, the nature of it, the justification leads to peace with God. Now, this is not just a ceasing of hostilities. This is a new relationship. When you trust in Jesus Christ, His life is given to you and your sins are given to Him on the cross. And the wrath of God, which rests upon every person outside of Jesus Christ who has fallen, and that includes the whole world who hasn't trusted in Christ, it included me and you, that sentence is removed, and you have peace with God. A peace that endures. This is what Martin Luther wanted. In fact, the entire Reformation is based in some sense upon this one monk who didn't have peace with God, who did all the religious things that you could imagine, did more than you could imagine. Prostrating himself in the cold, naked for days upon end, hoping that somehow he could prove his devotion to God and remove the wrath of God from his life. But none of it would do. None of it would give him peace with God. Some of you today want peace with God because your conscience is accusing you. And Paul is saying that justification by faith brings a ceasing of hostilities. There is a truce, but there is also, through Jesus Christ, an enduring peace, a lasting peace. There was once a young man whose father had abandoned him as a child. He began to grow, and as often happens, he began to grow angry. He was very blessed, this angry young man, to be in a community college, and there was a professor there in the community college, a lady a very godly lady and an insightful woman who saw the problem. And she said, if I could just save one, if I could invest my life in one and help him, because there were so many like him. And so she did. She invested her life, and the way she did was she asked her husband to start spending time with this young man. And it started just with hanging out. It moved to fishing. And it finally moved to a deep relationship. And the anger dissipated. And the young man could only be characterized as a young man who had peace in his life. Because the teacher loved and cared, and she sent her husband to show him love and to show him the love of a man for a son. And you see, this is what our Father has done. He cares for you. He loves you. We just don't have the religious concept of an angry God who must be appeased. When we read about the wrath of God, we are reading about the wrath of God against sin. But this is a God who loves sinners and who sent his only begotten Son to bring peace. To bring peace that comes when you trust in Christ, yes. But I speak to you, and I suspect many of you have known that peace. But you may be lacking the peace in your walk with God. It's available to you. It's yours to have. It's part of the bounty. And King Jesus desires to give it to you this morning. And always the means of grace. We've heard us talk about the means of grace. The avenues, the ways that we grab hold of grace. The means of grace are always the same. Word, sacrament, and prayer. Through the Word of God, through we hear God's invitation to receive this peace. Through the sacrament, as we watch the bread broken, as we take it, as we see the cup and are reminded of His broken body and His blood, His sacrifice at Calvary, we again understand that is a way to know that God invites you to receive this peace, this enduring peace, this lasting peace in your life. And if you will only pray, God will give you that peace. He'll give you that peace in the middle of the storm you're going through. He loves you. He loves sinners. It's a peace that comes from relationship. It's a peace that comes from love. The second thing in the bounty of blessing, not only peace with God, but perseverance in grace. Look at the passage, verse 2. Through Him we have also obtained access. Now that word is the same word that might be used to gain access to the President of the United States, to gain access to someone important. Through Jesus Christ, we have gained access. How? By faith. Not through anything we've done. By faith. Into this grace in which we stand. Perseverance in grace. What we learn here is that it is grace that brings you into the kingdom of God. You know that. By grace are you saved through faith. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. You know you're saved by grace. Do you know that you are kept by grace in God's care? Do you know that it is grace in which we stand? Grace is a new way that God looks at you and accepts you. Now, I talked about that guilty conscience. You come to the Lord Jesus Christ with whatever you've done, whoever you've been. He loves you, and in Jesus Christ, He'll accept you. And by grace, you'll be saved, but by grace, you will stand. You've been crawling a lot in your life, haven't you? Your Christian life has just been a crawl. But you'll stand. What else does this mean? It means that the grace that you have received is the grace that you're going to have to share with others. To stand in that grace means that you are so aware of your unworthiness and Christ's love and how He brought you into His family by dying on a cross for your sins. You're so aware of the love of God in your life that as dear children of the Father, as Paul teaches in Ephesians chapter 5, as dear children, you're going to have to love each other the way God has loved you. And it's going to be easy to do if you're standing in that grace. It's what the vicar of Olney meant. His name was John Newton. The vicar of Olney. When he wrote, "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." Okay. That's how you come into relationship to God. Grace taught him to fear. In other words, I'm a sinner. God's going to judge my sin. And grace, my fears relieved. I'm in a right relationship with God. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. You were saved by it. You were kept in it. You have access to God through it. And we're going to have to stand together always in this grace. The ethical outcome, you see, of Paul's teaching is always in our relationship, the horizontal relationship with each other. And you know what else it is to stand in this grace that we have received? It says that we have a different outlook on the world. We have a different outlook on those who are crawling. If you know that grace, then you're able to look upon those who don't have it with love, compassion, because you say, well, I didn't do anything to earn God's love. I'm going to love them, and I'm going to pray for them, and I'm going to share God's grace with them. And all I'll do is just tell them what God did for me and of His love and His acceptance. And you know what? That will touch the human heart, and it crosses all cultural divides, all boundaries, all ages, all generations, because the human heart is the same wherever you go. And God's grace is so powerful. To be forgiven, to be restored, to be healed, and to say you're in a right relationship with God, to learn how to live with others. So that's part of the bounty of King Jesus. Peace with God, perseverance in grace, and joy in the journey. What are you facing this morning? The very thing that you're facing and struggling with this morning in the hands of this loving God is the thing that God is going to use to work endurance in your life. That is, He's going to test you with it. But you're going to be proven. Jesus doesn't fail. You're going to be proven. You're going to be like silver and gold coming out of the fire. You say, Mike, you're just going around like a clown saying, be happy and it's going to be okay. Hang in there, buddy. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying because of the victory of Jesus Christ, I know that you're going to endure. You're going to go through it because Christ went through it and you are His. You're His child and He loves you. Nothing will stand against you. Every enemy's power now becomes combustion to move you towards heaven and closer to Jesus.
The Lord Jesus Christ died to save helpless, ungodly sinners. We who were once God's enemies have been justified and reconciled to Him by the blood of His own dear Son. Well, Mike Milton joins us in the studio right now. Dr. Milton, the Apostle Paul quotes the Old Testament Psalms when he says, "None is righteous, no, not one." What does he mean by that?
Well, Paul is referring to original sin, that we all sin because we're sinners. And that's what Paul means. There is no human being that is exempt from that qualification. We are all by nature sinners. We're born that way. And thus we sin because we're sinners. That's our nature. And that's what the Apostle Paul is talking about.
Well, thank you, Dr. Milton. Now, if you'd like an audio copy of today's message, be sure to call or write and ask for Reconciled and Rejoicing, The Bounty of Faith in the Believer's Heart. You write to us at Faith for Living, 554 Macaulay Avenue, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. Or call us at 423-648-7914. That's 423-648-7914. You can also hear today's teaching on our website at faithforliving.net. This program is also available for downloading onto your iPod through iTunes.com. Faith for Living with Mike Milton is an outreach ministry of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga. With a passion for God's Word, a heart for God's world, and a commitment to God's grace, our mission is to gather and grow strong disciples of Christ to be sent forth to make new disciples. To learn more about the ministry, visit us on the web at faithforliving.net or call 423-267-1206. That's 423-267-1206. Now until next time, on behalf of Mike Milton and First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga, may you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ with a living faith and a faith for living. I'm Dan Parker, and this has been a presentation of First Presbyterian Church of Chattanooga.